The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Dose of Leadership Podcast, episode 295.
Welcome to another episode of the Dose of Leadership Podcast, the show that brings you inspiring and educational interviews with today's most relevant and motivating leaders. Each episode is dedicated to highlight real-life leadership and influence experts who dedicate their lives to the pursuit of the truth, common sense, and courageous leadership. And now, here's your host, Richard Ryerson.
Hey, welcome to Dose of Leadership. So happy you're tuning into the show. Hopefully you're finding Dose of Leadership a great resource for you and your leadership journey as we talk to some of today's top thought leaders on the topic of leadership and how to become better leaders in every aspect of our lives. Great guest today, Ed O'Malley, the president and CEO of the Kansas Leadership Center here in Wichita, Kansas. Been dying to get him on the show for the past couple of years. I love what the Kansas Leadership Center does here. You're going to learn a little bit more about their mission and their vision and their values here on this show. But Ed really understands leadership, and I was so anxious to get him on the show, and he certainly didn't disappoint. He brings a lot of great leadership nuggets and insights and his view on leadership, and I learned a lot in this conversation. You know, Ed started out in the Kansas legislature, but then he took on a new challenge when he assumed the role and the founding role as president and CEO of the Kansas Leadership Center. And there he leads a group of dedicated Kansans creating a vision of civic leadership that still guides his view of Kansas today. And it's a belief in leadership that we all resonate here at Dose of Leadership. You know, Ed believes that leadership is an activity. It's not a particular role. It's not about a position. It's not about a title. And it's that vision that Ed has helped create, the skills, the training, the knowledge that are taught to this day at the KLC. And it's grown from that simple dream into an internationally renowned organization. And it is fantastic. I love what they do. He is the co-author of a pair of books. First one's called For the Common Good, Redefining Civic Leadership. And that tells the stories of five Kansans, their real life leadership dilemmas, and how they found success by working through challenges. And then one of my favorites, a book called Your Leadership Edge, Lead Anytime and Anywhere. It breaks down the Kansas Leadership Center's leadership framework that empowers readers to put their own ideas into action. This conversation is really going to resonate with you. If you're a fan of the show, you'll really appreciate what Ed stands for. So thank you, Ed, for coming on the show. Hey, go check out my Legacy Leader Blueprint course. I'm always looking to fill mastermind courses. I just finished another one here in late May with another group of five individuals, and it's a chance for you to watch my 20 videos online and in four modules. And in between each module, you get to interact with me live in the group as we cement some of these leadership materials on learning how to lead yourself, lead others, transformational leadership topics. It's a fantastic way to you to get some jumpstart your leadership journey. And it's all for $349. You can check out more at doseofleadership.com or richard@ryerson.com. Reach out to me at richard@doseofleadership.com. Tell me where you're at in your leadership journey. I respond to every email, and I love hearing about where you are at in your journey. All right, without further ado, here's Ed O'Malley, the president and CEO of the Kansas Leadership Center. Well, Ed, I'm honored to have you on the show. Welcome to Dose of Leadership.
Thank you. It's good to be with you, Richard.
I've been wanting to do this for a long time. You know, you're right in my backyard in downtown. You got a beautiful facility downtown at the Kansas Leadership Center. You know, and I drove by it for a long time wondering, what is this place? And then when I finally got associated with some of you and learned what you guys are doing, it's just phenomenal. But how did it start? I mean, how did something like the Kansas Leadership Center come into fruition?
Yeah, thanks, Richard, for the question. You know, we've been around for about a decade now, and I had the privilege of starting KLC from scratch. And quickly built an amazing team of people. But the idea really comes from an unlikely source, the Kansas Health Foundation, which is a large philanthropy here in Kansas. And they believe that you can't create healthy, strong, prosperous communities without a whole lot more people exercising a whole lot more leadership. I think, Richard, you know this to be true when you work with companies and organizations. You know, the health, the strength of the company is connected to the quality of the leadership. And they began to feel that and thought, you know, maybe one of the biggest things we could do to improve the health and prosperity of the state is to invest a large amount of our resources into the creation of the Kansas Leadership Center. So they gave us this big lofty vision to build the leadership capacity of Kansans. They gave us a nice, healthy, large financial grant and then said, go after it. And they hired me to start the thing. So that's how we got started over 10 years ago now.
That's awesome. And what, give me some of the, I don't know, maybe some of the success stories, some of the things in that decade. What have you been most proud of? And what are some of the things that you've seen since the KLC has been in existence?
Yeah, you know, Richard, it's interesting. You know, I did not come to this work as an expert in leadership development. My background is in government and politics. I was a member of the Kansas House of Representatives. I resigned my seat to come move down to Wichita to start the Leadership Center. So I came into this not as somebody who knew a lot about the field of leadership studies like you do, but somebody who had just been trying really hard to make a difference by exercising leadership, often failing at it, occasionally succeeding at it. So when we started this, my mindset was we had all these big questions. So that's a long answer to your precise question. But one of the things I'm most excited about, most proud of, is the approach we took. We didn't grab our favorite leadership book off the shelf. We instead went around and we listened to Kansans, and we went through a very disciplined process to figure out, well, what do we mean by the word leadership? What is that? And is it something that can be can it be learned? If it can be learned, can it be taught? If it can be taught, can we evaluate whether we taught it? All these big questions. So I'm really proud of the way we approach this. We work with thousands of people a year now, and there are neat stories of individuals doing neat things in their communities, making a difference as an elected official or as a nonprofit executive or as a community-minded business person or a pastor. Those stories now, given the number of folks we work with, are quite numerous, and it's exciting, it's fun, it's enriching, and we still have a long way to go.
Yeah, for sure. But I think that a lot of times it's always exciting for me, and the whole reason why I do this show, why I'm in leadership development, is because I'm always excited, and it's very gratifying when people who typically don't see themselves as leaders finally understand that they have way more influence than they think. And that seems to be an overriding theme of what the KLC is trying to let people know, that, look, you can make a difference no matter what your position, no matter what your title is. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think those of us, I think often the leadership industry, we'll call it that, because it is, as you know, Richard, it's an industry. There are a zillion books and workshops and programs and companies and, you know, you name it, involved in this field. And I think a lot of times we actually contribute, those of us in the field, we contribute to people feeling like they can't lead because we so tightly connect leadership with authority. We think it's the same thing often. And early on at KLC, we began to really believe that leadership and authority are two totally different things.
Well said, yeah.
I think a lot of times, and 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I probably would have nodded my head and agreed with that statement if somebody said that to me. But I think the way I would have thought about it was, sometimes people in those key roles exercise leadership, and sometimes they don't. Yeah, it's just having the role doesn't mean you're leading. And I think we've tried to take it a step further at KLC by saying, no, having the role or not having the role has nothing to do with whether or not you're leading. Rosa Parks is my favorite example, right?
Yeah.
Great example of somebody exercising tremendous leadership without authority. So you summed it up very nicely. We believe there's a difference, and we can all exercise leadership, and we need a lot more of us to do it too.
Well, and it seems particularly when you're talking about community involvement and making a difference, both civically, there seems to be this dependence almost when we look at politics. And it's still, you know, if I can just hire this type of person or vote for this person in, then things are radically going to change. I mean, certainly getting the right person in and getting being active in government and voting certainly makes a difference. But at the same time, I cannot overemphasize the importance of not relying solely on elected officials to make things happen in your community. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. You know, a way of thinking about it is those who have been given authority, like an elected official, or frankly, like a CEO, somebody gave them that authority.
Right.
And the person or the people who gave them that authority have very clear expectations. And usually the expectations involve not rocking the boat very much.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times the people in authority have a lot of trouble really exercising leadership because they have all these expectations placed on them. I'm not sure your thoughts on this, Richard, but we think leadership is always about change.
Yeah.
Always about change. And, people tend to not like change that brings bad things to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really a tough situation for those in authority, because if they're promoting change, they're running the risk of disappointing a lot of people, and that might mean they lose their authority. So it gets complicated. We could talk about that for hours and hours, but that's kind of the mindset we take here. And how do we get people to understand we need leadership out of those key roles in our companies and our organizations, but we also need leadership from a whole lot of other people. And if we don't get it all around, we're probably not going to make the progress we want to make on the things that matter most.
Yeah, and I think that the progress is hinged upon this idea of leadership, for me anyway, that the ultimate goal of any leader, be it a public official, elected official, or a private business, or even in your household, the ultimate goal is to reach the level where you're actually transforming the lives of others. In other words, you're training, it's leaders training leaders. And that is so difficult to get to, as opposed to kind of like, okay, hire the leader, bring in the Lone Ranger to come in and save the day, or bring in this large charismatic figure into a large organization and things will change. I mean, we see that all the time after time, but the sustainable growth, the one that leaves a legacy where long after maybe the original leader was there, it continues to go and thrive. I mean, that is dependent upon leaders training other leaders. And it seems like that's part of what you're trying to do at the KLC as well, too.
Yeah, it's just a belief that we need, our toughest problems. And I should mention, Richard, the way we began this, I mentioned a little bit about that listening effort we did. We spent a year doing that, just listening, trying to figure things out. And the first question we asked everybody was, when you think about the future of Kansas, what concerns you the most? By the way, you can ask these same questions around the context of a company or an organization, and it tends to get similar results. So the first question we asked people got them thinking about a big, deep, daunting issue that, 95% of the ways people answered that question, those issues have been issues for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we started with that question on purpose because we believe that leadership is connected to challenges, is connected to concerns. And if we want to make progress on the biggest concerns or the biggest opportunities, if you want to put a positive spin on it, my sense is, our belief is, you need a whole lot of people throughout an organization, throughout a state, whatever the context is, stepping up and doing their part. But right now, we really, our society, our mindset isn't that. Our mindset is we ask a few people to do amazing things that are probably unrealistic for them to be able to do. Meanwhile, we can sit back, the rest of us can sit back and not change and not do anything ourselves.
Right.
We're trying to build a culture in Kansas, in organizations and across the state that represents something different.
It's a great point. I think a lot of times the burden on both the leader and the followers, I guess, is it's overwhelming, because if you're in a leadership role and you think it's your job to have all the answers to these large, challenging, and difficult problems, then you're probably going to fail. And conversely, if you're not in a leadership role, if you're not the authority figure, you don't have the positional authority, depending on those few individuals or that lone ranger type individual to solve the problem, it's going to lead to failure too. And so it is a mindset shift on what leadership really means. That, and I always say that we all are going to be called to it whether we like it or not, right? And so, I mean, throughout our life, we're going to get called to a leadership role or position. So it's in our interest to learn all we can about what it means to be an effective leader. And it isn't positional authority, it is having that ability to say, this is how things can be. To me, I think it's about, for leaders, like, this is always painting the picture how it can be. And that goes back to your change comment, right? I mean, it is about change. Like, look, this is how it can be. This is, and kind of suspending the belief on how you're going to get there, just kind of knowing you're going to get there. But to get there, you got to have everybody involved. That means everybody kind of thinking and acting like a leader. What are your thoughts on that? What I said there?
Yeah, I think it's, I think it's all really important and tricky. And even the language we use, you know, we encourage people, and, you know, Richard, you don't have to buy this idea. You can just rent it if you want. But we actually, when we have folks engaging with us, we encourage them to try not to even use the word leader.
Yeah.
Because we tend to, whenever we reference it, even if you just look at newspaper headlines, whenever you see the word leader referenced, it almost always is referencing somebody in authority or somebody in a role. And I think those of us in the business of leadership development don't even recognize all the times that we actually say things and do things that continue to perpetuate the belief that you've got to be in a role to lead.
Yeah.
And even using that word leader, it implies that you have to have a role.
Yeah, there's a separateness there. Yeah, you're right. There's a separateness there that automatically just by saying it is like, oh, okay, well, he's in charge. Yeah. I'm going to sit back. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, the fact that I was, just as an example, the fact that I was in the legislature, that I had a fancy title and a fancy office, it doesn't tell you anything about whether I ever exercised leadership.
Right.
Tells you that I got some job. You know, the fact that I'm a CEO of an organization now doesn't really tell you whether I'm effectively leading anything. You'd have to watch me. Is he mobilizing anybody the most, you know, to make progress on the most pressing issues of the day? Or is he just sitting up there, you know, casting votes or just sitting in his office, kind of, you know, sending emails and giving pep talks to people? I think those of us who care about leadership for ourselves, just as individuals, or those of us who try to build it in other people, I think we need to set a higher bar. I think our bar really needs to be leadership is mobilizing people to make progress on tough challenges.
Right.
And if we're not mobilizing people to make progress on tough challenges, if we can't even identify the tough challenge we're trying to mobilize people around, I think we're doing ourselves a disservice. And the beauty, one quick thing here, Richard, the beauty of having leadership, think of it as an activity that revolves around problems and challenges. It then, I think, becomes easier for the person who is in the middle of the organization or in the entry level of the organization or on the outside of the organization even, I think it becomes easier for them to think about what's their part exercising leadership on that tough challenge rather than just letting go and assuming somebody else will take care of it. It's complicated, of course, but it's a different way of thinking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but to your point, no, I love that. And you're absolutely right. I mean, I think it's not about – it's to me, it's the difference between – you know, what we typically do is we're in love with the idea of leading, right? That gives me the fancy office, the great parking spot, the perks, the privileges, and the salary. But what we're talking about here is being in love with the actual act of leading. And that's a whole different ballgame, right? And you're right. Yeah. And it's this idea of like, you're right. Hey, I'm the leader. There's a separateness there. And again, it's not that everything's necessarily flat, but to your point, it's like, if I'm the leader that's understanding, look, the whole reason why I'm here, the whole reason why I have job security is to get us through this fear and uncertainty through this, to try to tackle this large problem. That's the reason why leadership exists in the first place. And understanding that you don't have to have all the answers, but you're willing to be the person who's willing to accept the accountability for the success and particularly the failures of how far you get. Does that make sense? I mean, you're willing to be in the mud, if you will, the gritty and grimy in the gray area of leadership, because that's what it is. It's not really black and white. It's kind of messy. And the willingness to accept the accountability is kind of what I'm taking out of what you just said there.
Well, I think the I think what we really need to do, and I don't see enough of this in the leadership, you know, literature. But I really need to help people understand what does it look like to exercise leadership when you have authority.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you just described is part of it, you know, accepting accountability for the situation. I think it's a piece of it. You know, but I think we need to do more to help people know what does it look like to exercise leadership when you have authority. What does it look like to exercise leadership when you don't have authority?
Mm-hmm.
I think they look different.
Right.
What are the restraints on exercising leadership when you don't have authority? Because there are restraints. But then also, what are the restraints on exercising leadership when you have authority? What gets in the way of exercising leadership, of mobilizing people to make progress on the toughest challenges? When you are the CEO, when you are the senior manager, when you are the governor, when you are whatever the role is. Because I think there are real things that get in the way of people in those key roles mobilizing people to work on tough problems. And so I think in all the leadership books and all that kind of thing, I really think we all owe it to people to explore those dimensions more than they've been explored. And I think as that happens, we'll all get better at understanding the distinction between leadership and authority. They're very different, but we still conflate them over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, as you were saying that, I'm just thinking back, even having, you know, over 4 years having all these conversations, you're absolutely right that sometimes we don't go deep enough in distinguishing the difference between the two. I mean, I'm certainly would like to think that it's clear to me, but even then I'm just thinking back to conversations I've had even the last couple months that, man, we could have gone a lot deeper in understanding that distinction. I love how you kind of marked out those different distinctions of saying, hey, well, what does it look like when I don't have the positional authority? How do I lead? What are the constraints and what are the challenges? And vice versa, when you do have the authority, what are the challenges? Because they are completely different, right?
And Richard, I think part of the issue is in most, and I'm not, trust me, I'm not saying we've got to figure it out. We don't. We're trying lots of things and we're making a bunch of mistakes, but we're learning along the way just like you are and others are. But so I'm not trying to claim we have it all figured out. But I think one key is if we put most leadership development type efforts, most leadership conversations and most leadership books and most leadership stuff, I tend to think of it as most of it puts the quote unquote leader in the middle of the thinking,
mm-hmm.
the middle of the conversation. It's about how to be a great leader, you know, 27, you know, approaches to being the leader of tomorrow or 20, you know,
right.
all the kind
yeah,
of
yeah,
frames
right.
that people put on. And I think if we instead don't put the person in the middle of our thinking, and we instead put the problem in the middle of our thinking, mm-hmm. the challenge, the opportunity, the thing that concerns people the most, right? If we put that in the middle of our thinking and have all of our thinking about leadership revolve around a problem or a challenge or an opportunity, I think it dramatically changes how we think and how we talk and how we engage and how we teach people leadership. But I think most of us are oriented to putting the person in the middle of our thinking. So it's about developing a great person, a great leader, rather than it's about creating progress on a tough issue, which is going to require a whole lot of people to do different things. But ultimately, it's about progress. It's not about, you know, we talk about this a lot at the Kansas Leadership Center. We work with thousands of Kansans a year now. And as much as we care about them, and we hope that their lives are enriched and they are better people because of the experience they had with the Kansas Leadership Center, we're actually trying to work through them. What we care most about is Kansas becoming a stronger, healthier, more prosperous state, and Kansas becoming a place that solves problems faster, more effectively, more efficiently. That's the problem we're working on, and we have to work through all sorts of people to get there. The different orientation. I'm not sure if that's making sense or not.
No, it does. Yeah.
I think it's, I think if we just always ask ourselves what's in the middle of our thinking right now, a person, a leader, the people, or the problem, the concern, the opportunity, it can help us.
No, it makes perfect sense. And that resonates with me deeply because I think even if I'm talking from an organizational sense, what you're saying is exactly what I think is what drives sustainable progress is that it's not about the leader. It's never about them. And as to your point, you know, so much leadership development is like, how do you become a more influential leader? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's all about you. But the challenge, I think the biggest gap in leadership in both, and again, I'm, I'm not that familiar with government, but it's all the same. I mean, where people are people, sure. But I mean, is understanding like, what is it you're trying to accomplish? And if the leader, and I think to me, it's all about intent. And I think if you're in a leadership role, I think the biggest part of your job is maniacally communicating where you want to take this and what problem you want to solve, to your point, right? It's understanding and communicating with clarity and alignment what the intent, what it is you're trying to accomplish. And the more that you – and I don't think you can over-communicate it. I really don't. I think yeah. that, I think you can never – you cannot over-communicate what it is you're trying to accomplish and why. But that's where most people miss the point. And then if you turn it over to – you know, where the real leadership happens, the middle and below, in my opinion, that's where you're going to start to see the solutions coming forth, right? That's where the empowerment, the engagement, everything starts to come forth, as long as the, air quotes, leadership is focusing on what it is you're trying to accomplish and why, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, it's, and part of it is with those tough problems. And we, as we listened around Kansas and we started with that question. When you think about the future of Kansas, what concerns you the most? But again, you could ask, you could be working with
anybody.
Any company and ask that same question in their context. And they're going to give you a big, deep, messy challenges. And now the next question we asked people was, okay, well, what makes progress difficult on the thing that concerns you the most? And the next question we asked was, okay, well, what in the culture of this place helps make progress? What in the culture hinders progress on the thing that concerns you the most? What are the driving forces affecting the thing that concerns you the most? Eventually, we got to the question of what type of leadership do we need? But we later began to realize that people were describing to us what Ron Heifetz and Marty Linsky out of the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard described as adaptive challenges versus technical problems. Mm-hmm. And we came to believe that leadership is about the adaptive work. It's about helping organizations and communities adapt so they can thrive. And if you think about it that way, those big, huge challenges, you know, it's not like a university president might want to create a stronger culture on campus. But the president alone can't do that,
right?
You know, or a president of the United States might want to overhaul healthcare, but they can't do it by themselves. Right. I mean, they need thousands of people to be a part of it. You know, a CEO of a company on those biggest challenges, if when they think about the future of their company, what concerns them the most is the degree to which they're keeping up with innovating like their competitors are. You know, the CEO innovating faster is not enough. You know, he needs that frontline person who is just out of college and this is her first job. He needs her to innovate.
Exactly.
So it's to us that the frame of thinking about these adaptive challenges, these big messy challenges, and that they require more leadership from more people, it sure helped us get our arms around this topic.
Yeah, well, I mean, it can seem almost it is overwhelming a lot of times. When the more I think about it, and you look at those messy challenges. I mean, to me, leadership is always the answer to it all. Leadership, in a lot of ways, is so easy to understand, at least the fundamentals of it, but it's so difficult to put into play. And why is it? Why do you think it is so difficult? I mean, you're hitting on some of the reasons why, but why is progress so difficult? Why is adaptive change so messy and so difficult to put into play?
Yeah, Richard, a couple things come to my mind. One of them is, I think we've already talked about that we conflate leadership with authority. So, and those in authority often can't lead, or right. they're the least well positioned to do some of the tough things because they'll lose their authority if they do. But I think there's other things at play too. I believe leadership is incredibly risky. I think that's why it's so rare. Mm-hmm. I think if leadership is about change, and we're usually trying to adapt, we're trying to evolve, we're trying to help groups let go of things they need to let go of and take on things that are unknown. That's risky work. And most often we get rewarded in our lives for doing things that just make people happy. And I think when folks are leading, they tend to be disappointing their own people, at least at the beginning. They tend to be – sometimes we talk about leadership as disappointing your own people at a rate they can't absorb. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. So I think the risk involved with leadership is one of the main reasons why we don't see it very often. We see the exercise of authority a lot. We see that, but people really leading, people doing things that create the conditions for their company to fundamentally change, right? Well, we might know our company is headed in a bad direction, but we're at least comfortable with what we know, and the unknown seems scary, and I don't want to take us there, right? So I think the risk is a big reason why leadership is rare. I think another big reason is folks just simply haven't thought about what actually it is very much. We all have, as you and I know, leadership is an incredibly trendy subject, and most of us aren't clear on what we mean when we say it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about vision or values or about being a good person or about modeling the way or whatever catchphrase you want to use. And I think that's another reason why it's just hard to apply it, because we don't really know what we're even applying sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what it means. You're absolutely right. And the catchphrases what's the next? But to your point, it always seems to go back to how do I, become the center of it almost, right? And so,
yeah. I mean, you, Richard, I know we're winding down here, but my understanding is you have a background in the Marine Corps, and you probably understand better than most people that that when there's an objective, leadership is going to be evaluated based on did we accomplish the objective or not,
right?
And there might be certain traits you want to carry as you attempt to accomplish that objective. There might be ways that are more effective to accomplish the objective. But at the end of the day, it's, did we accomplish the objective? Did we make progress on the concern?
Yeah.
I think we need more folks thinking that way. And we'll get there. We'll get with your good work and the good work of other organizations. We'll all get there.
Well, you're right. And I think it's all about the big takeaway that I'm getting from this conversation, and it reinforces what we talk about here on Dose of Leadership, is it is about, it's never about the leader per se. It's always about them. And when I say them, it's the people that are trying to solve the challenges and the problem itself. And when you understand what it is you're trying to accomplish and why, then that is kind of the framework of why leadership is needed. And then as a leader, instead of using positional authority to get it done, in my mind, it's getting other people to think and act like leaders too, so that they can use their influence in support of the intent of what you're trying to accomplish and why. I mean, if you state the big objective is that we're trying to do X, Y, and Z by this, and everybody knows as key stakeholders how their role feeds into that, to me, that's engagement. That's where the big solutions happen. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've tried to come up with the solutions and it's been an abject failure, but when I've turned it loose to the people I was accountable for, they came up with ideas that blew me away. And if you can mimic that in an organization, you can certainly mimic that in a community, in a state, in a nation. It's the same. It's just the numbers are different.
Yeah. It's a good way of thinking about it. It's a great way of thinking about it.
Man, I love what you guys are doing. I mean, I just scratched the surface, knowing a handful of people there and now meeting you. And I love the work that you're doing. And I know it is the Kansas Leadership Center, but I mean, your work reaches beyond the state. So how can people get in touch with you? I mean, what are some of the programs and services you can provide people who are in the state, but maybe people who are outside of the state as well?
Yeah, sure, Richard. Thanks for the question. Our mission is very much focused on Kansas, but we do love engaging with those outside of our state. One, because we learn from them. And two, we're trying to inspire additional things like the Kansas Leadership Center elsewhere in the country and beyond. We do a lot of work in places like Australia and a number of other places around the world where we've spent some time. And we have folks coming to our programs now from all states, and it's really exciting. So KansasLeadershipCenter.org is the website, all spelled out, KansasLeadershipCenter.org. We also, Richard, have another website called yourleadershipedge.com. And that's a web-based portal where we engage people virtually with these ideas through a lot of video chats and different things like that. Your listeners might be interested in that, yourleadershipedge.com or kansasleadershipcenter.org. Either way, we'd love to connect and would be happy to be a resource to any of your listeners.
Well, I'll have links to all that on the post. And Ed, this has been a fantastic conversation. I look forward to working with you and collaborating with you in the future since you're right in my backyard. And this has been a very engaging conversation and even got me thinking. So I had a lot of takeaways for me, but I really appreciate you coming on the show, Ed.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity, Richard. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the show. Go to richardryerson.com or doseofleadership.com and fill out the contact page and reach out to me. Let me know where you're at your leadership journey. Also, if you want access to my brand new online leadership course to help become a better leader, go to legacyleaderblueprint.com. Fill out your email and you gain access to a free 12-minute video that will reveal the top secrets of leadership and also show you how you can gain access, exclusive access, to my online leadership course. That's legacyleaderblueprint.com. Hope to see you on the inside. Thanks for tuning into the show.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
All because of a fancy bike?
It's not just a bike. Peloton makes treadmills too.
Nah, all treadmills are the same.
Our treadmills can adjust speed and incline automatically so you never break your stride. Whether you're squeezing in a power walk or training for a marathon, Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try the Peloton Tread risk-free with the 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day and for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry, with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help, so you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.